Welcome to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm health integrationist Lena Berman, and I come to you weekly to discuss self-care and integrated health. Health news tends to pull us in opposite directions. There are sensational reports about new anti-aging discoveries and warnings about using hormones, which are the primary building blocks of youth. Human growth hormone is back in the news with a cautionary report warning that although supplementation has remarkable anti-aging effects, overdosing with HGH, human growth hormone, is dangerous. Traditionally, recombinant human growth hormone, as I said, HGH for the purposes of conversation, has been administered only by injection, and the price, which has dropped recently, is still out of reach for most. This hormone and others that are what we call growth factors, like insulin-like growth factor, IGF, are tightly controlled and have only been available with a physician's prescription. In fact, IGF-1 is not really very available up until now. Human growth hormone and insulin-like growth factor both control growth, so using them above physiologic doses is felt to contribute to cancer promotion, although this is debatable as well. But there is research that indicates that if it's pushed and out of balance, can do. Today's guest is researcher biochemist Dr. Barbara Brewitt. Her last name is B-R-E-W-I-T-T, Brewitt, has developed a new technology that delivers these and other therapeutic hormones homeopathically at a fraction of the dose and price. Join us in the next hour as we explore the use of homeopathic human growth hormone and insulin-like growth factor and insulin for the treatments of diabetes, accelerated aging, hormone imbalances, including menopause and andropause, with implications for many other chronic conditions. Welcome to you, Dr. Brewitt.
Thank you. It's a beautiful day where I am. I hope it is
sunny.
Where you are.
Sunny. I neglected to give you your illustrious introduction, and I would like to do that because I want people to understand your background. Dr. Brewitt is not only a PhD, she also has a degree in divinity, and she is CEO and Chief Scientific Officer of BioMedCom, B-I-O-M-E-D, com, C-O-M-M, and their website is BioMedCom, C-O-M-M, .com, C-O-M, so B-I-O-M-E-D-C-O-M-M, .com. The Seattle biotechnology company she founded in 1996, this is BioMedCom. BioMedCom combines the clinical effectiveness of growth hormone biotechnology with the safety and accessibility of natural medicines. The target of her research is to develop new homeopathic growth factor medicines that are affordable, non-toxic, and restore homeostasis to immune, nervous system, and hormonal systems. A leader in evidence-based medicine, Dr. Brewitt is internationally recognized for her double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical studies on homeopathic growth hormone and growth factors for healthy aging, longevity, and models of rapid aging, such as HIV. The positive results from her studies earned top rating from Bastyr University AIDS Research Center and a grant from the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, Office of Alternative Medicine, to evaluate homeopathic insulin-like growth factor, IGF-1, and its ability to increase lean body mass in HIV-infected people. Dr. Brewitt exclusively licenses to initializing the name of the company, BioMedCom BMC, for five different U.S. patents on the composition of and methods for supporting healthy aging and treating a variety of chronic symptoms. The company also holds 8 international patents, and she is widely published in peer-reviewed journals such as Alternative Therapies and Health and Medicine and Alternative Complementary Therapies, as well as numerous natural product trade consumer magazines, the Townsend Letter, Wellbeing Journal, Vitamin Retailer, Health Smart, and Natural Pharmacy. Her most recent published work includes 2 chapters in the book AIDS and the Complementary and Alternative Medicine, published this year. Dr. Brewitt did postdoc research on growth factors at NIH after receiving a PhD from the University of Washington School of Medicine, where she's now a visiting scientist, and also has a Master of Divinity from the Iliff School of Theology in Denver. And her intention is to empower people to have access to safe, effective, non-toxic medicines. And now, welcome to you.
Well, thank you very much for that introduction.
Well, you deserved it. You've worked very hard, and you have a very good reputation. I sort of ask around when I'm about to put someone on the air, and everyone said very nice things. So, I debated how to handle this. I'm always very reluctant to put on someone who has an exclusive line of products because essentially what happens is that my show, even if I'm bringing up important controversies with the work, no matter what, if I put it on the air, it somehow is an endorsement of the product, and I like to be really careful about doing that. That said, what I did with Dr. Brewitt is I said that I would feel more comfortable doing this if I tried the products myself. And so what I may do in the course of this interview is I may bring up some questions because I am generally not an easy person to treat. And so if there's a chance that someone's going to react to something, I will. That's part of the reason I'm so interested in health. So I may bring up some questions about how I reacted to these preparations. But first, I want to kind of lay out some groundwork, if I may. Do you want me to call you Dr. Brewitt or Barbara? What's comfortable?
Either one, okay. Whichever works for you.
Well, I'll see what comes out of my mouth.
Okay.
Let's start by explaining. I think most people understand the principles of homeopathy, but you might want to give us a very brief explanation of how homeopathic remedies are designed to work, and then explain how these preparations adhere to homeopathic principles.
And could I start with defining what a hormone is?
That's probably a good idea. Yeah.
From the way that you had introduced
that's,
it.
That's not a problem.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
So you had said hormones are really the building blocks of anti-aging, and certainly they've been promoted that way.
Okay.
And there's a large difference between a hormone and a growth factor.
Yes.
And even though the word growth hormone has the word hormone in it, it is actually a growth factor. One way to tell the difference is where is the receptor site or the antenna that catches the message in the cell. Many hormones, particularly steroid hormones that people are most interested in with anti-aging, actually have receptor sites near the nucleus of the cell, where growth factor, growth hormone, insulin, all have receptor sites on the very outer surface of the cell.
Yeah, I was very interested to read about that, yes.
And that's going to be important as you and I talk as we go along here. So I just wanted to point that out.
Well, should we go ahead and explain why that's important? I mean, what I'm intuing from what you said is that there's a, when you're dealing with something that enters the cell, you're going to have up and down regulation according to dose. Is that going to be part of the difference?
One of the differences is that growth factors never enter the cell.
Right.
They don't need to enter the cell, so they're very prone to be effective even in a homeopathic dose, whereas, quote, hormone replacement therapy, you need to get the hormone into the cell because it has to go all the way down to the nucleus before it's going to have a lot of its effect. That's a little overly simplistic, but I think for our audience, to think about growth factors, which is HGH, IGF-1, and insulin, are all signaling very small proteins that regulate the signaling in the body, whereas hormones actually have a very potent effect on the nucleus of the cell.
They have a direct
inside.
Effect.
Right.
Okay, so what I'm intuning from that is that it will be easier, therefore, to get an effective dose at a dose that is so low that it will not push people into non-physiologic levels of these growth factors. So that is protective then from it removes the cancer promotion risk or lowers it.
It certainly lowers it. And then as we talk about homeopathy, we can see how it's going to lower it even more.
Okay.
So let me talk about homeopathy.
Please.
Homeopathy is commonly referred to as the principle of like cures like. And we often, we being practitioners in natural medicine, refer to it as a 200-year-old tradition. In truth, it's about a 2,000-year-old tradition going way back to the times where the oracle, the Delphi oracle, was being used, where people were trying to understand what was going on in their mind or their body, and they talked about an insult, either a stress or a trauma, and how that event then would help you cure yourself. And that was carried on to using herbs and diluting them and trying to evoke certain kinds of events physiologically that would help the psyche to heal. Samuel Hahnemann, the father of homeopathy, really began the systematic study of like cures like, where he said if a toxic drug was given at a very high dose, it would produce in a healthy person an adverse side effect. And then if another patient was to come in the door with that same symptomatology, you would know what drug to pick because you would dilute your adverse side effect drug down to a homeopathic level, give it to the person with the symptom, and it would heal the symptom. That's usually called like cures like. One of the things that is not well understood is that in his Organon of Medicine, his very classic books explaining how he views homeopathy, he also explains that if you take that drug that is toxic and you dilute it down to a homeopathic dose, you will still get some of the positive benefits of that drug without any of the adverse side effects.
Yeah, another aspect of this is that it also works with substances in nature that are poisonous.
Yes.
So a dilute poison will resolve symptoms of that poisoning response, like arsenic poisoning causes diarrhea and chills in a person and anxiety. And if you give a homeopathic dose of arsenic, what you will do is resolve those symptoms.
That's a good example. Phosphorus is another example, which is a normal mineral in the body. It's actually the second highest level of a mineral in the body, and toxic doses go right to the nervous system and make you feel very out of sorts. Homeopathically, it awakens the electrical forces in the nervous system and makes you feel alive and dynamic.
Yeah, it also clears the lungs.
Yes.
Okay. So we need to keep moving because we're going to completely run out of time. So the preparations that you've prepared, these products, have doses that range from a trace of the material to an actual dose.
Yes, and even the word trace, if people, listeners, are familiar with homeopathy, sometimes it means that the substance that you're taking has an imprint or a structural configuration that carries the message of the growth factor without actually any molecules, not even a trace of the molecule, or the odds are very low that a trace is present.
Okay, and then we go all the way up to a dose which is called a 1M, which is equivalent to an actual dosing of, for example, human growth hormone.
No, it's the opposite. I'm sorry, Lena. So 1M would be what I had just described as an electrical kind.
Oh, the 1M is the dilution that's out 1,000 times. So it's a trace. Yeah, that's one of the non-intuitive things about homeopathy is that the stronger the dilution, the more powerful the effect.
Yes. Yeah. And then, so for instance, our growth hormone formula actually has quite a bit of growth hormone in it. So people are taking actual molecules of recombinant, safe growth hormone.
At what dose?
It would be considered 10 to the minus 12th molar, which is in the nanograms down to the femtogram range.
But what is the, and which dilution is that?
6C.
The 6C is the one where you actually get traces of it. Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right, so it's counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive.
Hahnemann again said the more powerful the substance, the less that you need to have a very deep effect in the body.
It's so interesting. I love homeopathy. The different dilutions have different target areas, too. Like you explained, for instance, that a 1M, which is the strongest dilution, but also I mean, it's the biggest dilution, the most dilute, actually sometimes has the most powerful effect. And it affects, you said, the genetic and nervous systems. So why don't you go ahead with that?
That's correct. Yeah. If you were to talk to many homeopathic doctors who have experience for quite a long time, a 1M, or a very high potency, it's called, affects the cells right down to the DNA and can change or are thought to be able to change some genetic problems that the body might be facing.
Yes.
And in fact, they go right to the nervous system, whereas a 30C dose, which is another common dose, is working at the physical level as well as then going down to the nervous system. And a 6C dose is working very much at the physical level for acute symptomatology.
Okay. Now, one question. Oh, let me just briefly ID what we're doing. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman. I'm on the phone with Dr. Barbara Brewitt, B-R-E-W-I-T-T. She is a biochemist, and she is the CEO and scientific officer of BioMedCom, which is a company that produces homeopathic growth factors like human growth hormone and IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor. And insulin is the ones we're talking about today. One of the things that's interesting about the experience that I had taking this is that you are asking people to take these preparations, at least the initial instructions on the bottle, or to take the preparations, 10 drops on the tongue, 3 times a day. And generally speaking, with homeopathic remedies, if you are taking particularly a really high dilution like the 1M, it would be taken once and maybe not taken again for quite a long time. And even with the 30C, you generally don't just keep taking them, because what happens is you get something called a homeopathic proving when you do that. But what you found doing you've done a lot of research. You have a lot of papers on your website of actual clinical research. You found that these do not cause provings, generally speaking.
That's an astute observation. What growth factors, to go back to that definition, they are made by the body every 3 minutes, whereas a hormone might be made on an hourly, daily, or monthly. Growth factors are actually produced and signal the body every few minutes by trying to bring the body back to homeostasis, or balance, the ideal Elan Vital. And growth factors and homeopathy are trying to do the same thing. So we found that whether a person was taking a 30C, a 1M, or even a 6C of a growth factor, that it appeared to be supporting the body to come back to greater balance without causing approving, which would be the person actually begins to manifest symptoms that would
be an overdose.
Suggest, right. It would suggest almost an aggravation or a toxicity.
Uh-huh.
Now, what you and I have talked about, Lena, is that these growth factors are unlike your normal herbal supplements. They go zoom right into the direct target organ. And if, for instance, you have aging as a factor, a chronic illness as a factor, you're very sensitive, the body is capable of giving you immediate feedback that you're either mixing for instance, other very strong medicines with a natural medicine and actually causing the release of toxins faster than your body might be able to eliminate it, or you need to understand how to adjust the dose so that you're not detoxifying too fast.
Okay, that clarifies something very important to me, mm-hmm. that what you're doing is speeding up the metabolic.
Yes.
Right.
And right.
Because you're causing an increased effectiveness of the signaling of all these other things. So what we're saying here is that many people who will reach for a bottle of this stuff are going to have other health problems. So, for instance, one of the things we discussed is thyroid, and many women are taking not only thyroid, but they're taking estrogen and progesterone and various things. Men now increasingly are taking testosterone if they need it. Many people are taking DHEA and various other substances. So these are going to be, would it be correct to say that they are potentiate, that the growth factor, homeopathic growth factors will potentiate the activity of the other hormones?
I think that that's a good assessment. The ones we're talking about today, HGH, insulin-like growth factor called IGF-1, and even insulin, all regulate fuel metabolism in the body. How do we use nutrients? How fast is the fire in our body burning up or utilizing the food or the supplements that we're taking? And each of them increases the uptake, particularly IGF-1. That's what it's designed to do. So if you're taking another hormonal dose, let's say, or thyroid medication or testosterone, all of those hormones are also working on metabolism.
Yes.
So you're taking very strong physical doses, but your body may not have a good signaling network or a relay team that goes, oh, something's in my bloodstream or something's in my gut, and it's for the last 10 years I haven't been taking it up very well. All of a sudden, you have a signaling message from HGH, IGF-1, or insulin, and you're getting five times the uptake, maybe,
yep.
or even two times, and
yep.
you experience, oh, my yep. goodness, what just happened to me?
Yeah. So what we're saying here, then, is both that individuals with complicated pictures who are taking other hormones would want to tread lightly when starting this, might not want to start with a full dose, monitor their symptoms, and also possibly are we saying that over time there will be a correction?
Yes.
Well, that's
yes.
nice.
This is, okay, Lena, this is key for, I think, your listeners. People with anything that's chronic that they've been struggling with for a very long time, to think that, well, I'm going to go to the maximal dose and things are going to shift, your body isn't really ready to do that.
Okay.
It's like training very slowly, coaching your body to know itself, know its symptoms, and slowly shift
yeah.
and make sure that your mental state is in the same place as your physical state, which most of us are compartmentalized.
That's a very important point. And one of the things, I mean, I think what we need to do now is sort of back up for a second and talk about these three hormones and where their influence is going to be felt the most, and then who might be interested in using them. Because right now we're sort of rushing ahead, and we might want to back up, because what we've done is we've introduced the idea that people taking hormones and people with thyroid disorders will find that this will help to regulate and increase the effectiveness of what they're doing and may even help to heal the system over a period of time.
Yes.
But and so we get that that people have to go cautiously, but who are the people who are really going to benefit the most? I mean, I get that everybody who ages loses IGF-1 but I think we need to talk about the relationship between human growth hormone and IGF, and then maybe move on to insulin and diabetes, because I think we've rushed ahead. So Matt, let's back up.
Okay,
a bit.
let's back up. So overall, growth factors intrigued me when I was doing research, because they are the communication system in the body that ties the nervous system, the hormonal system, and the immune system together. And while most of us have this sentence that comes out, the immune system is the front defense system of the body, it's really true that the hormonal, nervous, and immune system are our core defense. And growth factors coordinate the activities of those three systems. So we've done research ranging from people who are very chronically ill, for instance, autism or HIV, to people who are very well with growth hormone and the interest in either healthily aging or supporting a whole wellness, a return to wellness, a return to vigor and imagination and feeling better, or, and to even sports and fitness, and people who want to lose weight and are generally healthy, but they go, you know, I just want to get to whatever my personal best is.
Well, they also affect appetite and psychology, so they're antidepressant as well.
Well, okay, that's something maybe we can talk about for a minute. The nervous system, particularly the very center of the brain, the most protected area called the primitive brain, is called the limbic system.
Also the emotional brain.
Exactly. It's the emotional, it's the memory, it's how do we know if we're in danger or in safety. So that's our defense mechanism. And that is tied directly into our physical well-being. So my perception of I see a tiger, should I run? Or I see a tiger, should I take a photograph? Has a lot to do with what's my past experience. And that will trigger, unbelievable, but that will trigger, that perception will trigger the physical body to shut down appetite, to activate a running response, or to put you in a meditative joy state.
Right, so we're talking about sympathetic dominance or parasympathetic dominance.
Very good. Yeah, that's right. And so growth factors, again, what's so exciting to me about particularly HGH, IGF-1, and insulin, are all three of those regulate the emotional, perceptual area of that center core brain, and then communicate it to an area in the body called the hypothalamus, which then turns the signal into actual molecules of growth factors that are secreted to the body to change metabolism and our muscles.
And you recover better.
And you recover better.
Because you're becoming more you're going from fight or flight into rest and nutritive. The parasympathetic is the sleeping, resting, recovering. We need to take a very brief, like a 35-second musical break, and we're talking to Dr. Barbara Brewitt, B-R-E-W-I-T-T, biochemist and CEO and Chief Scientific Officer of Biomedcom. It's BIOMEDCOMM.COM, biomedcom.com on the web, and we're talking about homeopathic growth factors. I'm Elena Berman, your own health and fitness, and if you would, please stay with us. Welcome back. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman, and our show today is about homeopathic growth factors, so human growth hormone and insulin-like growth factor and insulin. My guest is Barbara Brewitt. I'm sorry, it's B-R-E-W-I-T-T. She is a PhD and CEO and Chief Scientific Officer of Biomedcom, the producer of a line of homeopathic products that treat using these growth factors instead of, well, we'll talk about the alternatives, And their website, again, is biomedcomm, one word, .com, C-O-M in this case. And if you miss parts of today's show and want to get a cassette copy of this or any other in the series, Your Own Health and Fitness, you can always call my information number 24 hours a day at 707-874-2772, or you can go to my website, which is yourownhealthandfitness.com. One of the first things I noticed when I tried the products is this shift from sympathetic to parasympathetic, because I am quite the racehorse. So I tend toward fight or flight, although I sleep reasonably well and work in many ways to not be sympathetic dominant. That's where I go primarily. And what I noticed immediately was a shift toward parasympathetic. So instead of thinking, oh, my God, I have to go do this, or, oh, geez, I have to go do that, I was kind of like, oh, I get to go do this now. You know, and, oh, I get to go do this now. How interesting. And I thought, boy, this is powerful stuff. My own experience was that I'm one of these, because I'm so sensitive to everything, and because I do take other hormones, although I take them in really tiny doses, partly because I am so reactive, that I actually have had to... We talked about this, and I actually had a phenomenally strong reaction to the highest dilution and got a little hypertensive in response. And then when you and I talked today, what I tried was actually putting it through the skin transdermally and using 3 drops instead of 10. And that seemed to work better, although I'm still playing with it. So we'll talk more about some ideas of how these can actually be used and what to look out for. But we were talking about their effects and who might be interested in using these hormone-like growth factors.
The thing that I think is really great about homeopathy and medicines that are sold over the counter is that it empowers a person to take responsibility for their own health. And particularly with homeopathic growth factors, a person can modulate like you have, where you go, I think I'll try 3 drops, or I'll try once a day, or once a week, or once a month, and just get to know myself, because growth factors are so potent. There's actually an antenna on the cell surface waiting for a signal. And that's unlike any vitamin, any mineral, any amino acid, any botanical supplement. There's no receptors. But growth factors, growth hormone, IGF-1, insulin, has a receptor on many, many cells throughout the body, particularly in the brain and particularly in the hormonal, nervous systems, immune systems, that are going, I'm waiting for the signal, just tell me what to do, and they see it, and they go, whew, I'm responding.
Well, you know, what I'm going to be playing with is when during the day to take these different things and how to separate them if I'm taking more than one. So after we talk about this some more, I'd like to cover that before we get off the air, because there are going to be people who are going to want to try this, and I want to give them as much information as I can.
Good.
But to begin with, let's go back, because what people are understanding about human growth hormone is there's a very famous doctor who has written a lot about this. I don't want to say his name on the air. And he himself uses very high doses of injectable human growth hormone. And my observation is that he looks Cro-Magnon now, or even, well, anyway, he looks different. Because when you get into a non-physiologic dose, there are physical changes. People think, you know, you think acromegaly. You know, you think of diseases of the pituitary gland where the face changes and the bones change. And there are many doctors now who are using injectable HGH, human growth hormone, for chronically ill patients with good effects. And my understanding is that the price has gone down significantly to, and at least I had a doctor who treats with this stuff on the air, and he said somewhere between $150 to $250 a month, which is still a lot of change. But the concern here is whether human growth hormone is the first place to go, and whether that's the right place to go with a lot of people, and also why an injectable dose might not be the right way to handle these substances. So I'd like you to go on that route.
Okay.
And maybe weave in the differences between human growth hormone and IGF-1, how they relate to each other.
Good. Well, that's a lot.
That's a lot. I know, Barb. Right, I'm sorry.
So let's break it down simply and just go, would a chronically ill patient, the first place to go to think of growth hormone or even IGF-1, which is somewhat available as an injectable form. Number one, it's a prescription item only. And very mega doses, there are many studies on injectable growth hormone. And if you don't use the right dose, or you use even a physiological dose, but for a very long, steady period, you do get side effects. Some of these are adverse side effects that range anywhere from just getting edema or swelling of the joints, something called tissue turgor, stiffness, all the way to diabetes, heart disease, everything. And that's because HGH has extremely targeted effects. Like I say, the antenna on the cells are just sitting there waiting. So I think if a doctor understands your case and chronic illness very well, they might go to growth hormone right away, but it's not a panacea. You know, if you have a thyroid condition, you might not go, well, the first choice is growth hormone injections. You have to really know yourself and take responsibility for your health. Doctors, growth hormone has really only been in this mode of being very, very widely used since anywhere from 1996, when the FDA first approved it for HIV, up to 1999 in some of the popularized books and the anti-aging clinics. So there's a lot to learn. People usually are very sick with a pituitary illness before they use injectable HGH. Why would you use an injectable HGH? The cost is exorbitant. Baby boomers, all of us, including myself, who are aging, go, well, maybe I'm going to age, but I'm going to go down fighting, and I'll spend every dollar I have to gain access to it in injectable form, not understanding that there are some new breakthroughs where you can actually take a chewable tablet and put it in your mouth, not a toxic level, does not require a prescription, and certainly costs less.
Yeah, but what I'm also hearing is that it's potentially less dangerous. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's not only potentially less dangerous, it is less dangerous.
Right.
There's less chance of a mess-up in the system.
Absolutely. I mean, it is well documented about side effects, and what we've done is three different double-blind placebo-controlled studies on over 200 people, approximately, to demonstrate that quote, healthy people that did not have any illnesses were brought back in their youth and their vitality as early as a week. We had an independent investigator in Chicago do a comparison between three products of growth hormone-like claims, showing that this chewable tablet was very rapid without any signs of toxicity.
How long did the study go on for, though? How long did you follow people taking it to see what the long-term effect was?
Well, our formal clinical study followed pharmaceutical protocol, which is actually only 6 weeks.
Oh, okay.
We have customers who have been using it for 5 years, who are using it on a regular basis, which means they use it for 4 months. They'll go off for a month, they'll go back on for 4 months, they'll go off. I did have a friend of mine who took it for 2 years straight, not realizing he was supposed to cycle it. And even then, he did not have any negative side effects.
Okay, so HGH should be cycled, and I think we should dovetail into IGF-1, and you know, I think people are going to get confused.
Right.
But should you cycle all of these materials, or are they...
The only one that is known to be needed to be cycled is growth hormone.
Okay.
And just to roll into, growth hormone is a different shaped molecule than its counter team member that's called IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor. And both of them can work independently of each other, and they do in the body. And then HGH stimulates the liver to synthesize more IGF-1 to be secreted in the bloodstream. So IGF-1 carries out a lot of the work that growth hormone would be thought of.
So actually, it's IGF-1 that is giving people the anti-aging effect that everybody in Hollywood is after these days.
You know, a lot of it, that is actually very true. It's very difficult in clinical studies that I've read to tell, oh, this is an IGF-1 effect versus this is a growth hormone effect. It used to be thought that IGF-1 carried out all the effects. And there is not an available injectable IGF-1 because pharmaceutical companies have actually failed in their ability to have a successful clinical study without killing people.
Well, it's lucky, though, that they haven't figured it out, because they would probably find something that wouldn't kill people but would make them sick.
Yeah,
I shouldn't be so cynical, but it's true. Is it the case with these homeopathic doses of these growth factors that do not enter the cell that there is less of a problem with up and down regulation? And what I mean by this is, for instance, somebody feels crummy, they decide on their own that they're going to go get some DHEA because they've heard that DHEA gets low. And they go to the store and they buy some DHEA and they start taking an oral dose of DHEA. And the first week they feel like they could climb Mount Everest, they feel really good. And then by the second week they don't notice any effect after that if they're taking a low dose. Otherwise they're getting, women are getting beards if they're taking a high dose because it's androgenic, but can be. But the point is that part of what happens is that your cells are hungry for it. You take it, and it goes, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, and it just gets this great effect. And then your body starts creating more receptors, and then suddenly it all sort of mellows out, and you downregulate. There's a bell curve with hormones. If you take more than you need, you go down the other side, and you have a bad effect already. So if you take too much estrogen, you get hot flashes.
A lot of sports people call that hitting the wall. And what hitting the wall is, and in your example with DHEA, you take a very mega dose because Americans, more has got to be better.
Yeah, overdose. Yeah. You supersize.
You supersaturate the body like a sponge, and it takes up as much as it possibly can, and then it goes, well, I can't take any more up, and that's worrisome if I'm trying to maintain balance. Therefore, I'm going to shut down, and now I am not going to respond at all. So that's what happens with DHEA. It certainly happens with HGH, which is the whole reason of cycling and why a homeopathic approach that teases the body, and it goes, okay, you know what? I'm sending you a signal. Do you hear it?
Yeah.
And so there's this upregulation of the receptors to the signaling so that the radio station, you turn up the volume a little bit to respond more. And by giving too much in the injectable form or even some of these supplemental forms, it actually will downregulate the cell and make it resistant.
It'll make it resistant. And that brings me to the next point, which is that you also have a homeopathic version of insulin. And this is very important for people who are diabetic. Let me go back a minute and say, who might benefit from these products? And if I may, I would say people as they age, menopause, andropause, men and women losing hormones. Certainly women who are taking any hormones at all are going to benefit because of what you just said about the potentiation factor. And what you say in your literature also is that estrogen, and maybe testosterone too, I'm not sure, will you will get more growth hormone, but you won't get more IGF. your IGF will be blunted by the estrogen. Is that true with testosterone?
Yes, that's a very important point, that any form of hormone replacement therapy, particularly in women, we're all sensitive to this, down-regulates IGF-1 in the body. And okay. IGF-1 is just like critical to every single cell.
Okay, and then we have people with chronic illnesses, diabetes, AIDS. Diabetics may also benefit, certainly benefit from IGF-1 and your insulin. But then we've got things like chronic fatigue syndrome and various other things that cause people to be chronically ill and wasting and bone loss, depression. Clearly, you don't take these products and not address your diet and your lifestyle. In other words, these products are not going to work without some help from you behaving yourself, oneself.
I think the most important thing is that a person be conscious about themselves and know thyself.
Yeah.
Because symptoms, it's like, would you take arsenic without knowing what the potential consequences are? No. So you're going to educate yourself about a supplement or a homeopathic medicine because it's going right into certain target organs. So the more you know, the more you understand, and the less you become afraid.
Yeah, although people get overwhelmed. But I just, you know, I think little by little. Okay, so we've just described some people who might benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, for a moment, talk about the insulin that you've developed. Oh, let me just ID the show. Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman. On the phone with Dr. Barbara Brewitt, B-R-E-W-I-T-T. PhD, CEO and Scientific Director of Biomedcom with C-O-M-M, and their website, biomedcomm.com. So you can find these products there. And I feel some responsibility to explain. These are more expensive than traditional homeopathic medications. So it isn't the case that this is going to be accessible to everybody. But it is, I think, still less costly than using any of the other delivery systems. The bigger point here is a balancing between how sick you are, what effect it's going to have, and possibly what dose you will need. And that's something we'll talk about, too, I hope, before we get off the air. But people can look at, they can look at the price list and get a sense of what they'd be doing, knowing that these bottles will last them, a 1 ounce bottle lasts about 3 weeks, and maybe a 2 ounce bottle lasts 6 weeks. So I have to say that, otherwise I get these calls saying, okay, I'm on food stamps, I can't do this, so why are you talking about it on the air? And the reason I'm talking about it on the air is that this is groundbreaking research, and I think it's very important for people to know what's available, and maybe in time it'll be easier to produce these products, so who knows what will happen. So how does the homeopathic insulin work for diabetics? Because I have, as you know, been trying this on a diabetic that I'm rather close to, and there's been no shift in his blood sugars.
And that's one of the, I just had a paper published in the Townsend Letter in
December. Right, that's what I saw. Mm-hmm.
And what I point out there is that most of us understand diabetes very poorly, and in fact, we need to understand it better. If you ask the common person, what's diabetes, and they say it's a blood sugar problem. Well, actually, it's not. It's a fuel metabolism. Not only do you not deal with blood sugar very well, but you don't deal with proteins very well, or fatty acids very well, or carbohydrates very well. And so the idea of a homeopathic insulin really came as an inspiration that if we could give growth hormone orally and homeopathically and see very profound effects, that providing insulin with some other homeopathic growth factors in there to support it, that the body could reestablish some fuel utilization that would strengthen a person at the cellular level. And over time, we've seen a young girl, 19 years old, change her blood sugar levels very dramatically, and where the doctors were even commenting on what has shifted.
And was she also on a non-provocative diet, a diet low, you know, that's not going to produce high blood sugars, like a no-starch type diet?
Right. I mean, she tracks herself and gives injections.
Oh, she's using insulin already.
Absolutely.
Oh, dear.
Absolutely. Yeah. Insulin-dependent diet.
All right, so you need to explain to people why. See, because there are... insulin-dependent diabetes is usually diagnosed in childhood, and it's mostly an autoimmune response where the body is chewing up the beta cells that make insulin in the pancreas. So these people don't make insulin. But increasingly what's happening is that type 2 diabetics are being told very quickly by their doctors that they're going to need to shoot insulin. Part of this is because the protocol that's popular for diabetes, and I think you'll agree with me here, Dr. Brewitt, is completely counterintuitive and not very useful, which is to give people a high carbohydrate diet and to give them medications which are hard on the liver, among other things, or as you say, blunt the natural response system, make it hard for the body to learn how to utilize these things correctly. But so the problem here is that... I believe that diet and exercise, I've seen it work, and nutrients. I have clients in my practice who I've been able to turn around for the most part with diabetes, although some people who've been diagnosed very early on and have had type 2, non-insulin dependent, for maybe 30 years, it's more complicated and takes longer for them to correct. It may take a year or two for their blood sugars to drop. But the point here is people have said to me, well, so what? So I'll take insulin. Well, there's a reason for not shooting insulin. So why don't you explain that to people?
Boy, this is one of my favorite topics, so I'll try to be brief here. Insulin is like any hormone, and where we were just talking about how if you take too much DHEA, the receptors shut down, the same thing very commonly happens in both types of diabetes, is that they become insulin resistant, that if you put insulin in the body, it's so powerful that the body becomes resistant and won't respond at all. Or the insulin can actually cause you to feel suicidal. My sister, who is a congressperson for the state of Washington, actually had a colleague congressperson commit suicide by using too much injectable insulin, went into depression, and decided that his life was no longer worthwhile. And I'm sure that some of your diabetic listeners are aware of that. And it has to do with the mental stress or the mental perceptions in the body drive how we feel physically. And diabetes in Chinese medicine is really understood to be an overactive mind, where you were saying it's sympathetic dominant. And that is actually an underlying part of diabetes. It has nothing to do with blood sugar, except that sympathetic driving will then cause metabolism not to work. So the homeopathic insulin that we've brought out in a liquid form, taken orally, is designed to calm the mind, to integrate the body, and to allow the metabolism to work better. And then, as a secondary effect, you will probably get some blood sugar adjustments, but it's what's the mental body doing?
Well, the test case that I'm using has not noticed that shift yet from the insulin, although he noticed it from the IGF.
Now, okay, let
so
me just...
you better talk about how you use these in combination.
Yeah, let me clarify. I know that for your listeners, this is all new material, and it can...
Well, if you're willing, I think we ought to do a second show, honestly.
Well, we can...
We can talk about that, yeah.
Insulin and insulin-like growth factor, IGF-1, have the same word insulin in them because their antenna on the cell or their cell receptor is exactly the same. So for people who are insulin-resistant... our homeopathic potency of IGF-1 rids the body of the insulin resistance. And so then they can begin to respond to other things. So that homeopathic IGF-1 may make a person more aware of what's going on in their body, where insulin itself may not.
Yeah, I get it.
And that has to do with potency. How much of the what is the homeopathic dose?
And it's going to vary, as we're finding out here.
Yes.
It's going to vary. The other thing that I think is important to mention here is that you said a very powerful thing about diabetes, which is that it's a mental state. And I think that's astonishing, and I'm really very grateful that you brought this up. I think it's very important to mention here, too, that I really do believe that people can create an insulin-resistant state in themselves by eating medicinally. Because people are packing in lots of carbohydrates and sugars. They're very popular right now, and a lot of people have been told to stay away from fat and protein. And so they're eating provocative foods, and they're often doing this because they're depressed, and you get a very fast antidepressant effect from sugars and starches. But the long haul is that you raise your insulin levels. Even if you're not predisposed to do so, you will raise them, and over a period of time with this much insulin hanging around, you're having a whole cascade of effects on your other hormones, because insulin's so powerful, not the least of which is that you begin to blunt your tissues to the insulin message. So might we also say that the type of eating patterns and the type of behavior patterns where people don't rest and push themselves mercilessly also put you into it's a fast track, is what I'm saying, to diabetes.
I couldn't agree with you more on every single point. Aging itself is a stress. And, you know, I've written some articles on that, actually, in Natural Pharmacy. But the dietary considerations, our age, how healthy is our liver, what kind of emotional stress or grinder do we put ourselves through in an 8-hour workday, or our financial status, or our worries about are we going to be in a war or not? All of these things influence our body.
I want to very quickly, because we've only got just minutes here, combining these preparations with hormones now, or even combining IGF-1, human growth hormone, and insulin. Now, you basically say don't take HGH if you're diabetic, and the reason is because you want them to be separated by how much time?
Well, insulin and growth hormone work at different times in the body, and they work opposed to each other.
Okay.
So usually people that might be interested in a homeopathic insulin would use it at the times when HGH is not working. HGH is most potent early in the morning when it is called insulin resistance.
So give us some protocols quickly.
Yeah, so when you first wake up in the morning, it's a great time to take growth hormone. Then you don't do it at all until 3 to 5 in the afternoon, and then any time after dinner, after 7 o'clock.
And then if you're taking insulin, how do you...
You take those in between.
Okay.
So those times that are not those growth hormone times.
Okay, and then what about women on HRT who want to take IGF-1 and growth hormone and things like that? What would be the protocol?
IGF-1 is, as I said earlier in the show, it works every, 3 to 5 minutes in the body. And IGF-1 can actually be taken at any time during the day.
Okay, and it doesn't matter if you're taking some other hormones at the same time?
The other, we don't
know. You don't know yet.
Don't know yet.
Well, I'll be your test case. I'll keep you appraised.
Yeah.
I'll give you many phone calls.
Using estrogens, we know, suppresses IGF-1. So you would think that you would use it not at the same time.
Oh.
Just because it's suppressing it, so the body naturally is going to be resistant.
Okay.
That's how I would...
I tell you, thought about it, although I'm not seeing that in my own case. I'm seeing that they work fine at the same time, but I'll let you know. We are so out of time. Dr. Barbara Brewitt from Biomed.com, her website, Biomed, biomedcomm.com. Please go and check out the information on your own. Thank you so much for your time, and I will contact you about another show.
Thank you.
You're
this
very
was
welcome.
Great. Yeah, thank you very
for
much.
For me, too. And I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Lena Berman. If you need more information and or you want a CD copy of this or any other in the series, Your Own Health and Fitness, you can call my information number 24 hours a day at 707-874-2772. You can also go to the website, yourownhealthandfitness.org, to listen to the show online all week. For a list of other available shows, information about guests, and news about the nonprofit and the benefits of membership, again, go to the website, yourownhealthandfitness.org. Your Own Health and Fitness is a joint production of Your Own Health and Fitness and KPFA-FM. Remember, being informed not only protects your health, it protects your freedom.